It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight. We will have the AFC and NFC Championships broadcast live here on WGCL on Sunday starting at 2:30, so we'll preview those games for you as we try to determine who is going to be playing in the Super Bowl. And looking forward to a very big Sunday here on WGCL. We, of course, have high school basketball both Friday and Saturday nights here on WGCL. But before we get there, we had a game last night at Assembly Hall for the Hoosiers of Tom Crean. Illinois, team with some athleticism to them, but not a lot of scorers on the game. And the Hoosiers came out. And despite having only a one-point lead with about 7.5 minutes left to go in the first half, blew the game open for a while and then really blew the game open over about the last 12 minutes of the game as they could not be stopped, set a Big Ten and IU record for three-pointers made in a game with 19 in winning 103-69 over the team from Champaign, the Illinois Fighting Illini. And there wasn't a whole lot of fight in Illinois, especially in the second half. And Glass, it's not one of the top five teams in the Big Ten in Illinois this year. They've got their injury issues. They do have a couple scores. But the Hoosiers did pretty well on them. But again, the Hoosiers keep taking care of business, doing it at home. This is their second straight home game where they've had a dramatic, large victory over a team that we thought maybe athletically could run up and down with them. And again, I don't want to make this out to be anything long-term just yet, but they are taking care of business. And you got to like the way they've taken care of Ohio State and Illinois the last two games. They haven't messed around. They haven't let them stick around too long in it. They've just blown their doors straight off the cars.
They have, and the Hoosiers making a school record, Big Ten record, Assembly Hall record. Just keep going. What have I left out on that? 19 three-pointers.
That's enough.
Well, Illinois had 69 points. Indiana had 57 on three-pointers. That just shows you what you need to know right there. I know the number of assists was the most, Joe told me this morning, in 11 years.
27 assists. Well, and of course, nine from Yogi, setting the all-time record at IU.
And everybody knew that was coming. Only needed a couple going into the game to get that. But when you make shots, you're going to have a lot of assists. And Indiana sure made a lot of shots. And that is Indiana's best quality about this team is they have plenty of guys that can score. They have plenty of guys that can put the ball in the basket. But, Dave, I think the fair thing to do is give Indiana all the credit in the world for destroying Illinois. I think that is absolutely true. But the maddening part of this team, one could argue, is they play 0-5 Minnesota on Saturday, and you didn't see a shadow of the team you saw last night. Yep. That's the next step. And as great as last night was, and I'm not taking one iota of anything away from that performance last night, at home you're jacked up, you're ready to go. It's the first time the fans are back from break when you're playing in the spring semester for them. I'm not taking anything away from it. But that wasn't the team we saw at Minnesota at 11:30 on Saturday morning in Minneapolis. The good news is they're both wins. They're both performances that at the end of the season, no one's going to care by how many points you didn't beat Minnesota by, and nobody's going to care that you put the worst beating on Illinois in 25 years. It's not going to matter if the Hoosiers, again, if these are the highlights of the season, Indiana is going to be not where everybody wants them to be. But right now, I think the key to this team is finding somewhere, Dave, between the highest highs of Ohio State and the Rutgers-Minnesota road games. I think the answer is somewhere in between that. You can't expect this team to come out and drill 19 threes on the road. Sure. It's not going to happen. But you also don't want them to sleepwalk through the first TV timeout and have a three-point game with 20 seconds left to go against a team that you're better than.
Like Wisconsin in about a week when we have to go up to Wisconsin, who, again, isn't the same Wisconsin team in the last couple
Minnesota.
Years. But they're better than Minnesota, and they're better than Illinois, and they're better than Rutgers.
Right.
And you're going to be on their home court, and you've had a hard time winning there. So you're exactly right. I mean, the consistency is still kind of the next step. The key right now has been there has been consistency in the result. It's been ugly sometimes getting there, and it's been beautiful sometimes getting there. Getting it into the middle, as long as you get to the result. And that, to me, is kind of the interesting part, because I never thought they'd be tough enough to get those results in those tough spots.
The one interesting, or the most interesting thing, but the most obvious thing as well, there's been one consistent factor in the 6-0 start. The 11th straight win, number 11, and the all-time assist leader, has driven the ship, has done exactly what you need from the team. And when you can depend on him night in and night out, you can have other guys that don't play up to their potential each of those games. You saw Robert Johnson got off to probably the start that nobody wanted to see, a couple of turnovers, a couple of missed threes. He found it, put it together. It's a lot easier to play when you're up 25 points. Those shots tend to go in a little bit more. But to get him going, you saw Nick Zeisloff try to get it going against Minnesota. Troy Williams has played his two best games, Dave, in two huge blowouts. I don't know if that's great or bad, but he had 23 against Ohio State. He had 21 last night.
I think the key in both of those, and it's fair, but the key in both of those is he started them well. And the energy is what started the blowouts. And you could say he padded them later on for the statistics and that sort of thing. But the point is, he started them both really well.
You know, the best part about last night's game was, I think, probably taking Yogi out with about four and a half minutes to go.
Giving him some rest. 31 minutes instead of 38. So I don't think I'm not sure there's any question
on
that.
And Indiana's had some chances to do that in some other games that maybe against McNeese State or whoever. I don't even know who they played in the preseason. But that's behind them. But the key to this Indiana team is, what do you know they're really good at? Shooting the basketball, putting the ball in the net. They're in the top 10 offensively nationally. They're in the top 10 nationally three-point shooting, top 10 nationally field goal shooting. And thank you to Illinois for the open gym session last night. If you're not going to guard guys shooting threes,
they'll keep shooting them.
19 of 35 for 52%. How many free throws did Indiana hit last night?
It was 19 of 36. It was 10 of 13 from the line. But, okay. I mean, just a phenomenal shooting night.
50, they would have lost.
37 of 65 overall.
They would have lost by two if they wouldn't have taken any 2-point
shots. They were
shots
22 of
night.
32 from the field in the second half, 10 of 15 on threes, 7 of 9 from the
field. And those numbers are distorted, too, because Indiana scored on, Joe told me this morning, on 10 straight possessions and 17 out of 20 possessions. Now, that's possessions, not shots. That is a little bit different. Or maybe it was shots. Who knows? But it was a dominating performance. And you know what? Those are the games at home. You don't let teams stick around. You don't let Illinois hit three or four threes in a row in a 6-point, 7-point game, and all of a sudden they've got a 2-point lead, and you're wondering what it just hit you.
Right.
They took care of their business. They never let those two big scorers get going. Illinois wasn't very good, and the give-up point, the second timeout in the second half?
Well, John Gross took his final timeout of his four.
Which is good, because
13-18 left to go in the game.
He wasn't going to need him in the under 8 minutes.
I'll have to look, but it was about 20 points at that point. It was not the 35-point blowout just yet, but that team completely and utterly gave up from that point forward.
They had no answers.
And of course, the Hoosiers weren't taking the foot off the gas. So, I mean, that's when Max Bielfeld started hitting threes. That's when everything started going even more right than it already had been. But, yeah, look, they brought it down to a one-point game with about 7.5 minutes left to go in the game. And I think Joe's quote was, we outscored them 81-48 from that point forward.
Yep.
And there have been lulls with this team in almost every game, if not every game. And to me, it was mostly early in the season, the last 6 or 7 minutes of the first half. In this case, it came a little bit earlier than that because they did open an 11-point win to get back down to one. But from that point forward, it was all foot on the gas, and they did not waste any time with it.
Nope, they didn't. And Illinois was part and parcel of that, but again, Indiana is going to score and going to score. That's their best defense, is playing good offense. And what has happened to playing defense in the Big Ten? Rutgers gets beat 107-57 on their home court, their worst beating ever on their home. Who gives up 170? Rutgers gave up 56 in the first half to Purdue. Illinois gives up 61 second half in 20 minutes, man.
Yeah.
That's a point and a half a minute.
Yeah.
And that was with 4 minutes at the end when it was kind of scuttle stuff going around. But give Indiana the credit. They deserve all of it. And the next step for this team is taking it on the road and giving a similar effort, which I don't have. I don't think that can't happen, not at all. But they don't even have to worry about that, Dave, because it's another home game coming up on Saturday. Northwestern comes to town, so they have another chance. Are you not entertained?
Technically, yes. The next step is Northwestern this weekend. And I believe that is Saturday at noon on ESPNU. And Northwestern's been all over the map. Took Maryland to overtime yesterday before they went down in College Park. So another test for the Hoosiers, but they passed last night with flying colors. We'll talk a little bit more going forward what that means when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is a phone number. Quick programming notes for you. We have high school basketball both Friday and Saturday night. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk for both nights. 7:30 tip-off. Different locations, though, so don't go to the same place. At South Friday night. Martinsville comes to town. That's always a the rivalry of the area. 85th Battle of the Old Shaven Mug. And then on Saturday, Terre Haute South comes to town to face the North Cougars. North needs to turn some things around. Hopefully they get it started on Saturday night. We'll have them both for you here on WGCL. And then on Sunday, we've got the AFC and the NFC championship game, starting with pregame at 2:30 for the AFC game, New England against Denver. And then just after that, it'll be Arizona at Carolina, all here on WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number if you're going to destroy a team in the Big Ten on your home court. Most people would pick Purdue. I personally always pick Illinois first and foremost. So 103-69, makes me very happy today. In fact, you know how some tribes they display the skulls and the pelts. Well, I wore orange today for that.
Did you? Very nice.
See it? I got my orange on just to show them. We took them down.
Big Ten. And yeah, the Illini. Yeah.
It took a fight right out of them.
And well, I don't know
if that's an IU thing or an Illinois thing. I don't care. I'm just glad we did it.
Again, and you've seen some bizarre games in the Big Ten. One of them was Purdue going to Illinois and getting beat. And I think they scored 80-something points against
84 to 70.
The best defense in the league. Well, when you make shots, Dave, you're a lot easier to you got a better chance to
it's
win
a lot
games
easier
than you
to
do.
Play,
it's a lot easier to play. It frees everybody up. There's no pressure. Guys aren't feeling the tight squeeze. That's why Yogi's been so important to this game, to this team, because when things have gotten tough, even against Wisconsin at home, you've seen it's a lot easier just to give the ball to 11 late in the shot clock and let them create something. Yeah. It's not forcing other guys to do it. And no offense to Illinois. They don't have those players. They don't. They don't have the minutes that Yogi's played. They don't have the athletic ability. They don't have the way to get into the lane to get this basket. They just don't. And that's why Indiana should be a good team. And that's why I don't get worked up about wins like this, because it's been a while since Indiana was beating teams they should beat. And now that Indiana's doing it, yeah, that's what they should do. We kind of talked about that on Monday. So people are like, oh, hey, we're back. So I had a couple of people email me all excited about Indiana destroying Illinois. And I said, hey, that's great. Did you watch the Ohio State game? Yeah, 48-18, we're killing them. I said, did you watch a Minnesota game? Well, no, I was at my kid's basketball game. Well, you got it. That's my point. You got to keep this in perspective. And the good news
is, I don't have to today. Tomorrow I will.
You're allowed to. That's right. You're a fan.
I'm still happy about beating the hell out of them.
You can. And again, the result was fantastic. And how they did it was totally how Indiana hopes to fire on all cylinders. Yeah. They got dunks. They got layups. Right. That created wide open threes. They had a sag in because they couldn't stop anybody around the rim. So everybody on the perimeter, it was a shooting gallery. You lined up like you're at the carnival. You gave a guy 50 cents and boom, you hit a three. You just walked up, next guy.
No, I mean, the fair thing, and you say this
that
all.
That balance is awesome.
You say this a lot, and you've said this a lot with Crean's offenses, and that's not a rag on Crean's offenses, but if they are simply getting by making threes, it can become fool's gold. And early in this game, it was almost all three. I was on Twitter. I said, look, they still need to get the ball inside. They still need, but they're relying too much. They were being taken out of the lane early by Illinois. Again, it didn't harm them in the end of the day, but they settled a little bit too much for the three-pointers, and they weren't all falling at the very beginning. Some of those numbers came in the second half when they really turned it on.
And Tom Crean,
they need to remember, they still do need to remember to go through the lane and get it involved in there.
And that was the first point of his show on Monday night. If you caught that, he talked about, at Minnesota, we fell in love with the jump shot and got in a hole. Mm-hmm. The jump shot got him out of the hole. Nick Seisloff knocking down four of them.
Yeah.
That's the good thing. But his point was, hey, we didn't get to the foul line to the last couple minutes of the game because we were settling for some other things. And give Minnesota some credit as well. You have to. They were on the court. But last night, Dave, you saw when it's balanced, it's unguardable. There's not very many teams that, A, can guard all five positions, B, rebound from all five positions, and once it gets going, it's almost like the turnovers. When you're having a bad night, everybody turns it over, and when you're having a good night, everybody makes shots.
Sure.
So they took advantage. They did exactly what they needed to do. And again, somewhere between that 8-for-25 at Minnesota and the 19-to-36 in 4 days, somewhere in there lies the answer. And when Indiana can stroke it like that, they force teams to get out of their comfort zone. The one team that probably put the most pressure on Indiana this year was Wisconsin. And the reason why that is because Wisconsin got the game played at their pace. Indiana drove it through Ohio State, drove it through Illinois. Why? When you're ahead, the other team doesn't really have a say when they're down 10 or 12 points. They need to get a little uncomfortable. They need to start trying things. They can't start working to get their guy the shot they want. You can do that when the game slows down. You can run things. You can take your time. You can take a deep breath. But panic and pressure and everything else that goes with that, that's Indiana's biggest tool. It's not full-court press. It's not rebounding. Right. It's not half-court defense. It's not switching, talking, and communicating. It is putting you to the screws by scoring, and scoring. 10 straight possessions, 17 out of 20. I mean, that's otherworldly and unbelievable in Big Ten play, by the way.
I think most people want to look at the second half and say, man, that was fantastic. Couldn't miss. I look more at the first half for a couple different things. And we talked about the first one, and that was the early on, relying on the jump shot a little bit too much, getting a little bit of success out of it, but then getting in a hole yeah. because of it too. Not in a hole, but I mean, back down to 1 point. You're up 11. It's, yeah. They score 10
but
straight.
To make
you're
your
down,
point.
It's 1 point. They punched back. You're exactly right. But I do think you have to take the lesson there that you have to remember to continue to be diverse. Don't let them completely take you away from the lane when you're so good at getting to the lane.
And look how they open the game. If you have the minutes chart in front of you, I believe it goes, and I'm throwing out the turnovers. I'm not concerned with those. I think it's Robert Johnson 3.
Only 11 turnovers, by the way, and none from Troy. Just
yes, no,
to note that down.
That was absolutely right. He had no turnovers, yeah. And he only had a couple against Ohio State in his other good game. Robert Johnson misses whatever.
Turnover Robert Johnson.
And then he had two missed threes, and the time he had a turnover or two turnovers and two missed threes in that stretch, Yogi hit a three, Troy hit two, and Bryant hit one. Stop. Yeah. There you go. Well, who's going to guard that ever? When Bryant can step out and say, hey, forget it. I'm just going to knock down a three. And Troy catch and shoot.
Yeah, Troy had two of them.
Yeah, two, and Bryant had another, and Yogi. Yeah. So you, where, who are you
Hartman
gonna,
had a tip in. But
who are you
yeah,
going to stop?
Exactly.
We had a tip in from missed three.
No, I mean, if all your guys are going to hit a three.
Well, that's the point. But yeah. Falling in love with a jump shot gets a little easier when everybody makes it. But when Indiana got a little happy about everything that was going on, Illinois, because.
Nine guys make a three-pointer last
night. Unbelievable. including St. Harrison.
All
Nego.
Five-year starters.
Yep. And that's it's impossible to guard. But Indiana, again, had a little fade away there. Maybe was excited because Yogi got the assist thing, and then boom, here comes Illinois right back at him. And then Indiana just got back into gear. And they didn't get into gear by stopping. They got into gear by getting rebounds and scoring.
Yeah.
And that's how they usually do it. And that's fun to watch because when you put the ball in the basket, Dave, that's a lot. That's why you pay your hard-earned money there. That's why you buy your seats. That's why you buy your cable TV package so you can watch it. And when it works, boy, is it fun, and it is almost unstoppable. And a young team like Illinois, let's be fair, that what one redshirt senior on that team, a graduate
transfer. Yeah, they're
transfer,
very young.
That's not a team that.
And in fact,
that's not a team that you think was going to get stuck in with.
I think Jeremy Price from the HT pointed out in his article the things that John Gross said after the game about his team sound an awful lot like what we heard Tom Crean say in the last 2 years about his team.
Sure.
Young, learning lessons, need to remember this, need to remember that. I mean, it's similar kind
How
of
many,
stuff. Let me ask you this real quickly.
A lot of McDonald's All-Americans over there?
No, not right now. Oh, okay. Certainly not. And that's why John will end up losing his job. That's, eventually, he's not recruiting to Illinois, and you should be able to recruit to Illinois.
Chicago.
Yeah, and everybody's taken out of there. So here's my question. This is philosophical.
Good, that's how it has to be. There's an 80-point blowout. You got to be philosophical.
There's a lot of different ways to get things done. But we've talked the last couple of years about the poor schedules for the Hoosiers, not the Big Ten schedule, but the pre-conference schedule. Not enough good teams. And in this particular case, losing to a couple of the good teams you did play. So not – I don't know if not gaining anything out of it is the right word or not. But is it possible with these 11 straight games that have been against opposition that clearly you can beat, arguably at the very least you're more talented than all of them. There's a couple you might say the other way, but pretty much all of them you say that. Can you be good enough down the stretch against the better teams on your schedule by gaining confidence beating up teams like this? Or do you have to go back and say, no, you should have had some games that you got your butt kicked in or more of them that you were competitive in to learn how to play at Michigan State?
Well, the hindsight's going to answer that question. But what you're going to know is you've got a dependable senior point guard that's going to help drag you through that because he has shown you he's going to do it and do it time and time again. You can only play who you play. And if Indiana was 4-2 here and you're making excuses why they're 4-2, I'm not hearing it. You're 6-0. That's fantastic. That's the best part. And what you're doing, Dave, by doing the business and doing the things you should do as a top 15 nationally preseason ranked team, you are getting you are buying insurance. You are buying padding. You are buying collateral down the road. If you get into a dogfight at Wisconsin and, I don't know, Koenig steps back and hits a three in your eye with 4 seconds left, you take your hat off and you say, hey, But if you go to Wisconsin and get beat by 27, because Koenig has 27 and Nigel Hayes has 29 and Ethan Happ has 18, that's a different situation. So Indiana has a huge challenge in front of them. They have a huge opportunity in front of them. But the more they can put change in the win column, Dave, they don't sting as poorly. You don't start looking over your shoulder and seeing, oh, geez, what's our ranking going to be? What's our tournament status? Can we get in as a 10 seed?
Right.
You're not going to have to worry about that. The Big Ten is down this year, and if anybody tells you differently, that's just erroneous.
No, it's absolutely
It's true. Absolutely down. It's down almost across the board.
Yeah.
Injuries have been a problem. That's absolutely true. The teams that are – I think the other part is, too, there's enough new coaches in the league where you don't have that settled mass that maybe you had 5, 8, 10 years ago. There's been an influx of fresh blood, whether it's Rutgers, whether it's Maryland, whether right. it's Richard Pitino, whether it's Tim Miles at Nebraska. You've had enough coaching changes where the ebbs and flows of what goes on.
The bottom of the Big Ten right now is about the same as you used to, except for Wisconsin and occasionally Illinois.
And the other,
but that's the point, is that Wisconsin's been so good, and Illinois has been more competitive,
right.
that, you know, looking at an Ohio State and a Michigan in the middle of the pack right now, they're not even as good as you might expect.
I think the angle I was taking there was, you've seen in past years where you'd go to Rutgers, and Indiana's been a victim of this twice. Wisconsin lost there last year.
Yes, it did. One of two losses in the Big Ten.
And you look there
one
and you
was
say,
on the road at
hey, that's a tough place to play. And Coach Speak says it all the time. Oh, right. It's a tough place. It's tough to go here. It's tough to go there. When Northwestern's winning by 25 at Minnesota, when Nebraska's winning by 30-something at Rutgers,
right.
you have all these weird things,
it's
man.
Real weird,
it's,
yeah.
It's, and that's
all,
fine.
All of college basketball is like that right now.
And if it's going to be like that, and your motto or your mantra is playing sticky defense, I'm happy Indiana's mantra is, well, we'll just outscore
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right. Wait. I mean, it's unusual. It is. There aren't that many teams scoring like this.
Because they don't have the talent to do so, and you saw a little bit of it last night. The two kids from Illinois would get minutes at IU. I don't know if they'd start, but that's the point. See, when you have to think about it, you have your answer.
And the Nunn kid's got, I mean, both those two kids. I mean, the Nunn kid, you watch him play and you say, man, is he going to snap out of this? And the other kid, Gross, said, if he shows up, we're going to have a good night. And if he doesn't,
wait a second. John, if he doesn't,
that's a problem.
That's your job.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, it's
John. You can pay $2.5 million a year.
I know, but
make him show up, John.
Kid's got to figure it out.
No, coach has to figure it out.
Kid's got to figure it out. I mean, kid's got to be in every night.
Everybody has to figure it out, and it's a lot easier to figure it out, man, when you're 6-0.
Well, absolutely.
Hey,
the Hoosiers are 6-0 right now.
Troy's had 4 or 5 bad. Nah, who cares?
6-0.
Bryant in and out of game. 6-0. Only playing 20 minutes. That's a good news there. Hey,
best possible thing for this team is to have overcome the Troy Williams,
Colin Hartman
swoon.
You can get them all. There's one guy.
If it's gone, then 6-0 and having gone through it is amazing.
Again, if you want to throw up the 6-0 start as that's how it's going to be from now on, I'd say be very careful.
Well, it's not fair if you're being realistic.
It's not fair if you're being realistic, and we try to be fair on this program. We're not killing Indiana.
You've beaten the four bottom teams currently in the Big Ten.
And when we come back, we'll tell you who Iowa's beaten, who they play this weekend, and we'll do a little compare and contrast, and you tell me who's had the better of it.
Yep, we will do that in just a couple minutes. 333-2665 is the phone number. David Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Hoosiers put the absolute destruction to Illinois, and who better to do it to? 103-69. Spread it out in the second half after it was back and forth for a little while. Hoosiers got an 11-point lead, and then that whittled down to one, and then they blew it back open to take the 42-25 lead into half. Then scored 61 points in the second
half.
That's
unbelievable.
To put them away.
Points.
Shot 69% in the second half from the field. 22 of 32, 10 of 15 on threes. Great night, all-time Big Ten and, of course, IU record. 19 made threes, 27 assists, and Yogi Ferrell had 9, including the 2 to start the game that gave him the all-time assist record at IU. So congratulations to Yogi Ferrell. And Yogi's really rounding into, I think, what everybody hoped he'd be for 4 years. I don't know if it's just him. I don't know if it's other guys around him. Whatever it is, he's really starting to take the reins of this team. If it was James Blackmon going down and he needed to step up, there's a lot of things that when James Blackmon went down, it appears that this team woke up to. Not necessarily always great, but the defensive end certainly has been better. And I do not say that it's just simply because he's gone. Now, maybe it's because he's gone and they decided to do more or dial in more, whatever it is. But it's not just because he's not guarding one of the positions. It's something else than that.
It is. And it's simply that whoever's getting more time, that's not their strength. Their strength is their strength. And if Hartman's getting more minutes, if OG's getting more minutes, which the answer to all this is yes, those guys,
they are better at that than
he was. Well, there's differences because you can go bigger with some of those lineups where you're not small and you should rebound better. You should have more people in the lane. You should have, it should be tougher to score. I think that all goes together, but I don't think anytime you'd ever want to say, hey, we'll be better without 16, 17 a game. I don't think that makes any sense. The sign that you like is that the season didn't fold because that happened.
That's been the exact opposite.
That's been the opposite because guys have picked it up. They've taken their chances with a schedule that has been nothing but favorable to start the Big Ten. And I think that needs to stay in the focus because when you look at what Iowa's done, we tell you Iowa's schedule when we got back. It's night and day. And whether you like it or not,
it's not close.
Remember, Indiana had to play Duke at Duke. Gotcha. Iowa had a big lead at Iowa State, who was in the top five at the time. But Iowa has to open up their season with Michigan State twice in 14, 17 days or whatever that was. They had at Purdue. They won both those games.
Yeah, on the road at Michigan State and at Purdue.
And I don't care what year it is. That's really good. And the Hawkeyes have also beaten Nebraska, and they've also beat – who else did they beat?
Just beat Michigan.
Michigan, who was 3-1 going into that game. Now, Michigan, to be fair, did just upset Maryland, and that's a tough turnaround to play those games. But when you look at Indiana's schedule moving forward, Dave, we're talking about this off the air, there isn't one part of that schedule where you just throw your hands up and say, well, there's no chance they get through that. There shouldn't be. You're IU freaking basketball. You should be good. You should factor in the title race every year. That's what fans want. Fans don't want to be 9-9 and talk about how it should have been 12-6. They don't want to hear about that. The toughest part of Indiana's schedule is home and home with Iowa. It's a one play at Michigan State. Yep. It's a one play home with Purdue and Maryland.
Yep.
Who are we leaving out?
No, it's
Michigan.
It gets
with no LeVert.
It gets much harder in the second half.
It should.
But you're exactly right. It is still favorable.
It is absolutely favorable.
Of the top four teams, only three of them are three of them are only one timers, as you mentioned, and two of those are at home.
Exactly.
You go to Michigan State. You go home and away to Iowa. So I mean, you have some tough games to go through. There's no question.
You can't
avoid them all.
Big Ten.
But it is as favorable of a overall schedule as you can get. It happens to be backloaded for this team, so you have to take into the account that this team has not faced the best. Again, I mentioned the four bottom teams in the Big Ten they've beaten. Beaten Ohio State.
Yeah.
They've beaten Illinois.
If you want to get after it, those are the facts. 50% of their wins are 1-17.
Now let's look at Iowa again
real
quickly, as you mentioned, because this isn't even close right now. They started at home against Michigan State without Denzel Valentine. They went to Purdue. They came home to Nebraska. They went to Michigan State. They came home to Michigan. That's 5-0 with arguably the three best wins in the entire Big Ten right now.
And their first
at least the two best road games.
And they go to Rutgers tomorrow, if you're wondering where they're at this week. It's Rutgers Thursday, home Purdue Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the reason you're comparing and contrasting is this, and it's a compliment for Indiana. It's because they haven't stubbed their toe and say, oh, if we just would have not turned it over that late against Minnesota or oh, man, we had Blackmon go down and we didn't know how to react at Rutgers. They did that. And now they're in a position because the position they're in is good because Iowa could be beaten up by the time these teams get together to play twice.
That's exactly right.
They've had to go through this ringer. They've had to play at Purdue. Nobody likes to play at Purdue once, let alone at Mackey down 19 and come back and win.
Right.
Now they got Purdue again. They got Purdue on Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have Purdue twice, Michigan State twice,
yep,
before they play us twice. Now, What are you fan? That's my point. What are you fan in their right mind wouldn't be a little excited about this? That's the schedule, folks. You can only play who's right in front of you. And Indiana hasn't stubbed their toe. They haven't had that oh shucks moment or the what in the heck was that moment. They haven't had it. Does that? You asked me earlier, does the schedule, the preseason? No. Winning in the Big Ten gets you better, I think, because those teams, night in and night out, those are programs. Those are programs that are entrenched in history with old gyms and loud people and national television and all the stuff that comes with it. Crappy weather, cold travel, schools back in session. That's basketball. Mm-hmm. This Maui stuff is made for television. Go play on the aircraft carrier against Kansas next year. Doesn't determine anything.
Big Ten, I mean, the conference season to me still means a lot. And I know the schedule is not the way it used to be in the old days. But
you can't have it with 14 teams.
You still
got to
go
way.
Through it all. By the way, Michigan State up a point with it's early at home against Nebraska, but Nebraska early on
and
sticking
Nebraska.
With Michigan State. Michigan State, for some reason, even with Valentine back now, has their head doesn't look like they're in it with two straight losses.
And is Lou Rawls-Narron playing tonight? That's the other key to that.
I don't know that he was supposed to yet.
Exactly. Well, he'd played in the previous game when they lost at Wisconsin, and now right?
I thought he was out. No, I thought he missed.
I thought he shot it. I thought I saw him shooting in that. Anyhow,
he has not played yet tonight.
The problem for Michigan State is now they have a problem to fix as well, and they've had two problems. They have Valentine missed the first couple of games, and now the point guard is out as well. That's again, Indiana has that problem. They've gotten around it. Has it been a product of the schedule? Yeah. It has been, and it's also been a product of their good play. I think they go hand in hand a little bit, Dave. I don't think it would be fair to do one without the other. They're 6-0. They're at the top of the league, at least till tomorrow night.
That's exactly right, and we got to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk about the AFC and NFC championship games this weekend. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Programming notes again, high school basketball Friday and Saturday night. Chalk Talk each night at 7 o'clock. Tip off 7:30 both nights.
You'll be the bookends of the Joe Smith triple header this weekend.
Martinsville at South on Friday night, the 85th battle for the Old Shaven Mug. I think Joe made that up. I've never heard of that.
No, it's true. It's only basketball, not football. Well, I asked about that because they played in football one year, and I said the same thing on the air. Does it work? And he goes, nope, just for basketball.
I went to a few of those games when I was younger, and I don't remember any mugs or anything. Well, whatever. At least not in the game. Saturday night, we've got Terre Haute South coming to town to face the Bloomington North Cougars. Again, 7 o'clock, Chalk Talk kicks it off both nights, tip off at 7:30. Then on Sunday, we've got NFL football, both championship games. AFC Championship leads it off. 2:30 pregame, New England and Denver kicks off just after 3. And then the nightcap is Arizona at Carolina. And so, of course, the big question, Glass, who's our Super Bowl teams? You've got New England and their beat-up offensive line, but you've got Tom Brady and you've got Bill Belichick, and they seem to find a way around it. Denver seems to let everybody stick around just long enough and then has been making plays at the end. Can they do it again against the best coaching staff and quarterback combo that's maybe ever played the game?
I'm going to steal a line I heard today on some talk radio that's absolutely true. Peyton Manning has 9 touchdowns and 17 interceptions and is starting an AFC championship game. I can't even get my head around those numbers.
What was the number again?
9 TDs and 17 picks on the year. Do you want me to touchdowns he's thrown at Mile High Stadium this year?
Not many.
Zero.
Yeah,
not many. He hasn't thrown any.
Yeah.
And there's people wondering why the Patriots are favored in this game. Well, Denver's defense can play.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about that. They've got good corners with Harris and Tlaib. Yeah, got it. They got good linebackers with Von Miller, a good pass rush. Those are things that Tom Brady, though, seems to, I don't know. It seems like the more pressure Brady's under, it seems like Edelman and all those other guys that are 5'7" catch balls for 500 yards.
Again, with their offensive line beat up, what they've been doing
is quick and go,
making sure it's out of his hands fast.
Can you name a Patriots running back right now?
And again, if you remember back to Denver last week, they really didn't have a lot of that pass rush affect the game. So they managed to win it late in the game, kind of more attrition than anything else. Will that matter in the Mile High? Who knows? I will say this, Denver has gotten a running game going pretty decently. If they can do that, if they can limit Tom Brady's chances, that might be the best thing going. But here we are once again. We're in another AFC championship game. We're
talking,
Manning and Brady once again.
Old men. And the thing about the Broncos is you want to buy that Peyton Manning's all of a sudden going to snap out of this. But you remember watching the game last weekend against Pittsburgh. Sims goes crazy talking about the ball's deflected at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. They run the tape back, and there's not anybody in a yard of the ball. I mean, Manning just, I don't know what that is he's doing. How do they win the football game? Simple. Pittsburgh had a bad turnover at a bad time,
yep.
And that's the key. Who's going to turn the ball over as many times? Who's going to outdo who? But it always seems like Belichick's got a scheme for these quarterbacks. He had a bunch of them with Manning when he was with the Colts. Didn't Manning only beat the Patriots in Indianapolis?
Well, there was one or two during the regular season, but
big
games,
playoffs, right? No. So that's one reason to like Denver, because it's going to be on their home field, and all that stuff goes into it, but this is a game you'd love to see everybody healthy and it be an all-timer.
Right.
And now you've got old-timers and papier-mâché lines and plug-and-play guys. It's going to be fascinating because the two old guys that touch the ball every play of the game, essentially, will have the say. It's not going to be C.J. Anderson. It's not going to be fill in the New England running back.
Well, you're
going
to be talking about them one way or another. I mean, Denver's going to have to run the ball. I mean, that
they
have to. It's not that Peyton Manning can't make a couple throws or lead him down the field.
You sure?
But they've got to get the run game going.
His
threat, at least the potential, opens up the running game for them. Whether they can take advantage of that or not is another question. Whether Bill Belichick even bothers to try it that way or not is a real
Pittsburgh's
question.
Pittsburgh's secondary?
Well, it's beat up. There's no question.
Yeah, but he's 21 to 37 for 222 yards.
And they didn't need him. I mean, again.
I know.
The end of the regular season, they throw Osweiler out there again with Manning dressed. And what do they have to do in the second half? Because Osweiler can't get anything done. Because they're up on him and they don't have any respect for Osweiler.
But who beat the Patriots?
And Osweiler did a nice job for them. But Peyton Manning, you have to give him a little bit more respect. Maybe Belichick doesn't. He might not. He might say, screw it. Let's let Peyton throw it all over the place. I'd rather go that. That would be the smart thing to do.
That's what you're going to see. I don't think there's going to be any difference of it because New England's got good corners, too.
And the Denver defense we've been talking about for two or three years now, so it needs to step up
and get
it done.
The key always to beating Tom Brady, New England Patriots team, is doing what? Keeping
pressure.
Tom Brady on the sideline where
he
can't
helps.
Play.
Absolutely.
When
that's the run game.
When he doesn't have the ball. Right. You have to do that. And the other thing that killed Denver last week, the five field goals. You know, it wasn't – they had the ball in decent field positions because Pittsburgh turned it over all the time, and they weren't cashing in touchdowns on that. I mean, they had chances to do that and put the game away, so you just wonder. The theater's going to be the best part of this game. I think that there's no part of it. I don't see Denver blowing the game out. I don't see that happening. I think if it goes any way, it would be Denver turnover, kind of like what you saw in Carolina and Seattle. But there's no doubt about it. It's going to be epically interesting, and that's the fun part. I think New England, Dave, is just better. They're going to win. Their head coach is better. Their quarterback's better. And in a big game, that's what I want.
Well, I'll tell you what. The problem I have, again, is you're talking about Denver's defense needing to get it done, Denver's running game to get it done. Their running game is not elite right now. And frankly, their defense far too often has given up big plays to cost them over the last couple of years. And that's what scares me. If you're going to rely on your defense and beat Carolina's defense and just destroy you, but you're not. You're a defense that does a lot of good things against bad teams. And then in a couple big games, you know, you're giving up points. And that's what I fear. They've got three really good corners, does Denver. Can they run around all day with Edelman and Amendola and Gronk and all those guys or not? You got to get pressure. You got to get it up the middle on Brady, and you got to make him uncomfortable.
Well, the other part
I'm with you. I'm afraid New England's going to go in there and get it done because I just don't know that the Denver defense is all that at the end of the day.
And when you put the pressure on Brady, hope he doesn't hit the hot read, hit the hot shot, and hope it's not away it goes. But I don't think that Denver can just come out and have a normal game plan. I think that they're going to have to shake something up because of the limits on Peyton Manning. you know he can't throw the ball, the deep ball. And if it's windy, all these things keep checking off. And it wouldn't surprise me, Dave, if it was a turnover-heavy game, because I think Denver's defense has enough to say. The interesting game of the weekend, though, is almost like the outsiders looking in, because Tom Brady and Peyton Manning getting all the airtime here. It's Cam Newton. Hey, we're 15-1.
That's right.
Over here. Well, the Arizona Cardinals, not bad either. Carson Palmer versus Cam Newton. Tough one. Who's got the better defense than that?
Well,
tough one. That should be a good football game.
No, it'll be a very good football game. To me, the Carolina defense has been so impressive. If Cam Newton is not, he has to do a lot for his
team. He does, week in and week out.
If he doesn't make the big mistake, it's so huge for them. And that's the case with any quarterback. But still, with as much as the ball is going to be in his hands in the running game, in addition to the passing game, if he just doesn't make that big mistake, I love, as I've told you, I think the two middle linebackers for Carolina, I think, are the best in the league. They are fantastic. They are a blast to watch because they get all over the field. They get everywhere. And they've, you know, the defensive line is underrated. They've got some real pass rushers up front and some guys that'll pop you and cover you in the back end. I think the Carolina defense against, again, Carson Palmer, who has always been kind of a question mark. I like Carolina, and I think at home, Cam Newton, again, no turnovers, limit turnovers majorly. They walk out.
Let me know who wins the turnover battle, and I'm going to probably tell you who the winner of that game is. And that's the thing. And Carson Palmer, in his Cincinnati days, wasn't known for winning any playoff games. He didn't play very well last week either. And Green Bay's defense, that's not one of the more stifling units in professional football. And they were on their home turf with all of that. I think Carolina wins the game as well. That one might be a little bit of a surprise, because if they do get the Palmer, that could get ugly, just like you saw. Because look what they did to Russell Wilson.
That's exactly
And Russell Wilson's a very good quarterback who has escaped, who has made big plays, who has taken
Wilson
victory from the jaws
Wilson
of defeat.
Wilson moves a lot better than Palmer does. That's something to keep in mind.
Luke Kuechly and Josh, was it Norman or Morgan, whatever that quarterback.
Thomas Davis is the vet there. I'm telling you, those two guys are phenomenal.
It is. They don't play the game on paper. That's why 50 million of us are going to tune in this weekend.
So who you got on that one?
I'll take the home team.
All right,
Carolina.
So Carolina
and New England. A rematch of a Super Bowl.
I'd prefer to have New England lose now just to take care of it. But
who am I rooting for, or who I think is going to win
saying,
a football
game? No, that's the same way.
What I don't want is a 4-interception Peyton Manning. Oh, geez.
Exactly.
I can't. That's
that
not.
Again.
I've done enough of those.
I'm not sure Peyton's going to walk out of here with a Super Bowl, but I'd like him to at least get another chance at it, to be fair. Colts aren't in it, so we can do that.
You can root for anybody you like.
Exactly. Music means we got to head on out of here, folks. Remember, we've got high school basketball Friday and Saturday. Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock both nights. South on Friday against Martinsville. South on Friday.
Yeah.
Did I say that? North on Saturday against Turo at South. 7 o'clock both nights, so tune in then. And remember, the AFC and NFC championships on Sunday, and we will talk to you Monday, 6 o'clock. You've been in the zone.